Good afternoon. I think it was Sharon Kuhn who prepares the announcements, according to Larry Hardison, in which case I think she read my mind in terms of the scripture she used on the cover, because it fits. We've just marched through a particular sequence of events, the Spring Holy Days. They give us a first declaration of what God is doing with the human race. All the Holy Days lay out that plan, of course, step by step. But they also show us in a subtle and a not-so-subtle way what our part is in the process. In the Bible, and actually entirely in the New Testament, God lays a particular emphasis on a word or a phrase that tells us that he wants us to be overcomers. The word overcoming, most commonly used, means to subdue or conquer, to get the victory. Its opposite, of course, would be to have something conquer you, which is obviously not God's will or desire. Look at the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. Over and over, to each of the seven churches, Jesus laid emphasis on the role of overcoming. To Ephesus, he said, "To him who overcomes, I'll give the right to eat from the tree of life." To Smyrna, he said, "He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death." To Pergamum, he said, "To him who overcomes, I'll give the hidden manna and a new name." To Thyatira, this one's a little stronger, and it actually starts us down the road of understanding what overcoming is. He said, "To him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations." To Sardis, he said, "He who overcomes will be dressed in white, and I'll acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels." To Philadelphia, "Him who overcomes, I'll make a pillar in the temple of my God." And to Laodicea, "To him who overcomes, I'll give the right to sit with me on my throne." So obviously, the thought or subject of overcoming bears heavily on what we're about, what we're to be, what we're to become, and how we get there. But the question is, just what does it mean? What really is overcoming? How do we do it? And just what does God expect of us in this regard? Now, in truth, this is a very big subject, and on many levels. And for days or weeks, we could probably talk about it and not touch at all, since it's really an ongoing process that lasts a lifetime. But in the time I'm given, I can at least focus on the heart and core of the subject, the essence of it. Everything about the subject hangs on these things I'll discuss. What's interesting, of course, is that the Spring Holy Days have a lot to say about the central truth of overcoming. They declare it very openly to us, and yet we can very easily overlook the simple truth of it. And the reason we often overlook the simple truth is that we live in a very independent age, in the Western world especially. There's a tendency to have an independent streak that says, if you want something right, do it yourself. It's the old raise yourself up by your own bootstraps philosophy. And yet that's not what the Bible says. That's not what God declares or wants from us. He's got something better in mind, if we're willing to see it. Let's look at a very quick review, very quick, of the Spring Feast of God, and it's a rather obvious message. Israel, trapped and enslaved in Egypt, powerless, without hope, needing a Savior, someone to rescue them, which is what a Savior does. And God provides just that. Through multiple miracles, he works first to have them released from slavery, and then, shown by the last holy day we kept, he not only gives them a spectacular way out of the land, but he destroys their enemies behind them, but not before allowing them to be apparently trapped yet again against the sea, still unable to save themselves, needing again their divine rescuer. And what were Moses' words to Israel at that time? In Exodus 14, verses 13 and 14, he said, "Don't be afraid. Stand firm, and you'll see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. A truly profound witness, and the greatest key to overcoming at any time for any reason. That message throughout the Holy Days and throughout the Bible is that God Himself brings you salvation, gives you repentance, gives you the victory. Israel's later history as a nation continued that declaration. Every time they tried to fight their own battles their own way, they failed. Whenever they turned to God, it was God alone who brought the success. In short, if we look at this in the most simplest way possible, our job, our effort, our struggle is to turn to God, to reach out to God, to listen to Him. His job is to save us, to give us the victory. And even our efforts are only made possible by God. Paul said in Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13, and we often read the first part of this and not so often the second, continue to work out your own salvation, for, he adds, it's God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. It's so easy and so human to get wrapped up in our own efforts, to stare at ourselves and what we think we need to do. But the truth is that we are the problem, and God through Jesus is the solution. And as we focus on the solution, God gives the victory. That's why Paul was able to ask a rhetorical question in Galatians 3 and verse 3, after beginning in the Spirit, are we now, or are you now, trying to attain your goal by human effort? He knew that wasn't the way. And again in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 to 10, while noting his own thorn in the flesh, some difficulty he probably had to struggle with most of his life, Paul wrote, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul said, I'll boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. We have to realize where the overcoming strength comes from. And there are so many answers for us in that verse. I have known so many people through the years who struggled and struggled against their problems or even sins, only to meet with discouragement. And almost always, because they were looking to their own strength, which is the human thing to do. They were trying to improve the self instead of giving themselves up to God. And we are told, after all, that we're putting on the new man, not holding on to the old one. So through Israel's testimony, God showed us that when it comes to ultimate salvation, we don't have that kind of strength. That true deliverance from anything only comes from Him. And as I've mentioned before, and others have mentioned as well, we'll always become what we're looking at. Whatever our focus is, that's what we become. That's why Solomon noted in his Proverbs that bad company corrupts. You become what you focus on, whether good or bad, it's inevitable. God tells us to focus on Him. The key to overcoming, at its most basic, is simply that. Jesus put it another way by saying in Matthew 11, verses 28 and 30, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and who isn't, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. A historical footnote to explain that verse, by the way, that we overlook, because Jesus lived in a different world from ours. When he said, "Take my yoke," his audience at that time knew exactly what he meant. He was speaking of slavery. Many slaves would have hard labor put on them by cruel masters. But Jesus said, "That's not me." He said that with him, you wouldn't be burdened, but instead you'd be cared for. Instead of overworked, your burden would be light. In other words, you have the honor of being owned by a master who cares for you. Peter emphasized that in 1 Peter 5, verses 5 to 7. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. So whatever our problem, whatever our struggle, whatever our difficulty, God's word is always the same. Look to me, he says. I am your strength and your salvation. When you're at your weakest, look to him. When you've made your biggest mistakes, look to him. The more we look at him, the more we take in of his word, his mind, his motives, in a natural process, we slowly but surely begin to think more like he does. And as you come to see the sense, the sanity of God's love and wisdom, of his way of doing things, you come to want his way more and your own way less. And ever so slowly, we find that those things we felt we could never conquer are left behind. Because as we have looked at God in Christ, they have worked in our lives to turn us toward them, to make their desires our own. Until we want what God wants. And that's when things that seem to plague us fall away. We might not even notice. We just wake up one day suddenly realizing that what used to burden us no longer does. Because we've been given the victory. And that's how we'll be overcomers to the very end.